And there it goes. Everything's working properly. And I'm very happy to be here on the Sabbath of God. And what we're going to do now is blow the trumpet. That's in Numbers chapter 10. Very good. Shabbat Shalom. And, you know, that's not a commandment or nothing. We just do that in memorial, like, you know, because they used to do that in Numbers chapter 10. The silver trumpets, you notice, they're one little piece, and that's how they used to summon the congregation, and then they blew it a different way in the armies, and the elders came, and, of course, we're just doing it just to see what it sounds like, actually, as opposed to the ram's horn over there. That's a ram's horn as opposed to the silver trumpet that's in Numbers. But anyway, we are Kahal HaBeMashiach. We're just little Jews here that keep the Sabbath, and we probably don't look like the average Jew that you meet because they're all dressed up in their Judaism garb with their tallits and prayer shawls and yarmulkes, which are not in Torah. But we're just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael, and today's the Sabbath of God, and Shabbat Shalom. That's what it looks like in Hebrew. And is that clear enough up there? Okay, good. Let's pray and ask God to bless today. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for another Sabbath, Lord and God, the God of the universe. I praise and thank your holy name, Lord, for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Messiah, Yeshua. And we thank you for, Lord, this last day of the Feast of Tabernacles that we just accomplished. And this is the eighth day, which happens to fall right on your holy Sabbath. Bless and anoint everyone here. I thank and praise you, Lord and God, for healing, for strength. Give us more wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. Teach us things that we are not aware of, and take away anything that's corrupt, anything that's not accurate, Lord and God. Make us spiritual forensic detectives like we're supposed to be. And I thank God for the blood of the Messiah, and I thank God for real brothers and sisters around the world. And may God bless you today and teach you something that maybe you're not familiar with in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And we're hooked up on the net, right? Is everybody there hearing? I guess it's coming out okay. Well, today is, believe it or not, it's October 18th. And boy, this year has gone quick, hasn't it? Yeah. October 18th. And we're using the Gregorian calendar, in case you're not familiar with it. It's from Pope Gregory. So whether you like it or not, we're all following the Catholics. Anyone here Catholic? Probably not. But, you know, we don't really have a choice, you know, because that's what everyone's doing. However, with our congregation, we bring into focus God has his own calendar that's never really discussed in other people's congregations. And I was a minister also for 16, 17 years in like a congregation that was sort of Assembly of God or Pentecostal. But we made sure we told you we were full gospel, you know. But we didn't really do, you know, and I was brainwashed in my little religion that I was instructed in. I never seen this in the Bible, where God has his own calendar, and it's Ha'etanim. We're taught by the world that it's called October. Judaism is saying it's Tishrei, which is nowhere in the Hebrew Bible. But no one goes to the Bible and sees Ha'etanim. And that, when I look at this in Hebrew, because I read Hebrew, that's the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's what these two are, right there, up there. And the first letter is the definite article, and this means a perennial stream. So God is the first and the last forever. You ever read that in the Bible? He says he's the first and the last. It's all through the Bible. And this word right here actually explains that. And here's the definition of everything. And there's the word ha'etanim. It always has the definite article. And the etanim that basically God's word has been erased because everyone's using made up October, that's ridiculous because octa means eight, and it's really, what, the 10th month? That don't even make any sense anymore. But back when they used to use October, it might have been the 8th month because really everything's so mixed up nowadays. Judaism's going Happy New Year, which is totally ridiculous because we're in the 7th month of God. I don't know how they read Hebrew like I do, and it says 7th month. And it's ridiculous. And you might say, where does it say that in the word, what you're supposed to ask? And this is the word that Judaism uses. You can look on Jewish calendars. They use Tishrei. And you might say, you always have to raise your hand like a student and say, where does it say that in the word? It doesn't. It's made up. But if you go to your Bible, your Bible that you've been carrying around like I have, I was, and I don't know how I missed this. It says, and all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, Ha-Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And if you want to get technical, it says, Vayareach Ha-Ethanim Behaghu HaChodesh HaShevi'i. So you can read it in Hebrew or English, and it's the seventh month of God. And you say, well, why is that erased? How come, what happened? This is one of the things that have been missing. And this other thing, this other little word here, the feast, what feast? Because we're so used to doing all the feasts that are made up and things that were planted or injected in something called America, which is only a couple of hundred years old, a little over, 234-something years old, right? And you say to yourself, how did this all happen to me? And, you know, I'm painted in this picture called my life, you know, and once you start asking questions, you might get some truth out there. For your convenience, if you missed me in the last 13 years, I'm a computer guy. I run my own Linux servers, and you could read all my studies, you could watch them, you could listen to them, you could download them. I mean, there's enough here to keep you busy for many days to come. We're on something called POW Talk right now, so whatever part of the world you're in, we have people around the world listening to us, and they hear us. We're streaming live. So today's subject, what would that be? Obviously, it would be the eighth day, a Sabbath, the last great day, holy convocation, a solemn assembly. And, you know, if you're not used to the feasts of God, they start off in Leviticus chapter 23, right? Leviticus 23. And you may not understand when you first read it because you might think, well, you can't go by what you've been taught. You can't go by what everyone's doing. You can't go by your whatever you think. You have to go by Scripture if you want truth as far as biblical answers. But if you just want to follow a religion, there's a million of them. You can just pick one you like and you can go to, you can do anything you want. Our little group is just to huddle up on the Sabbath to get some truth, because then you have 6 days to go try to figure out, how am I going to assimilate this in my life? And how could this be? How could no one know about the Sabbath on the seventh day? Right? I mean, because even in the Gospels and letters, known as the New Testament, which we could explain later what that is, the word Sabbath is 60 times. 60. I never saw it. When I was up there, you know, in the big church with the big band and the orchestra and, you know, out there charismatically, you know, doing my little performance. And, I feel sorry for those days because I led a lot of people astray. You know, I was saying a lot of weird stuff. I don't even know what I was. I mean, I was saying the stuff everyone knows, the stuff you heard your whole life, you know, and I was thinking it's so different than the God of the Bible. Because God has his own feasts that have been erased. So right off the bat, I'm talking already, God's calendar is erased, God's Sabbath is erased, God's feasts are erased. That's something to be, should spark a curiosity in your mind and heart saying, why? Like the Sabbath is the fourth commandment out of the 10. You know, the 10 commandments? I don't even know if they believe in that anymore, but there was used to be 10 commandments given on Mount Sinai, right? The Sabbath's just the fourth one. So why would only the number 4 be gone? Why isn't number 3 gone, or 6, or 7? Why only 4? And then we found out, because of research, the Catholic Church admits they erased the fourth commandment. We have letters from bishops and popes. They said, they know exactly when the Sabbath is on Saturday, but they said, we're going to do it. You Protestants are going to follow us. That's what they said many years ago before there wasn't an America. And then, of course, we come later on not knowing anything. But if you go to Leviticus right here, it says, speak unto the children of Israel, and you'll understand one day that you're part of this, saying the 15th day of the seventh month, it's not New Year, it's not Rosh Hashanah, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Jehovah. So you might go, what does that mean? Or what does that pertain to Jesus or Yeshua? What does that have to do with me? On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no work, civil work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. We now don't do offerings anymore because there's no Levitical priesthood and there's no, this is a picture of the spiritual that was going to come into focus. Now I hope you have fire, zeal through the blood of the God and the Messiah. And we still do the feast. And on the eighth day, there's going to be a holy convocation, which is today. And it says, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. It's a solemn assembly. And ye shall do no, this word is civil work. What that means in Hebrew is melechet avodah. And what that means in Hebrew is, it takes in consideration public work. That means any kind of work out there. Or domestic work. Like today's not the day to scrub the floor and wash the clothes and, do extra stuff. Because you actually have 6 days to do all that. You can't say you don't have time. You have 6 days to do anything you want, as long as it's not breaking the commandments of God. God always made the seventh day as a sign for you. He says it's a sign. And it's we did so much study on the number seven that you'd have to really focus into all these studies and try to figure out, how did this happen? And then when you find out that the Catholic Church took everything off the seventh day and they put it on the first day of the week, known as Sunday. Now, they used to call it the first day. But when they started worshiping the sun, it was really Sunday. It's different than the way when we say Sunday. We don't think of it. When they said Sunday, they used to worship the sun. And I know that's maybe hard for some people to believe, but there are people right now, if you go on Google, Google, you type in modern pagans. They love to be called pagans. You should see all the pagans that live right around here, every big city. They love it, and they worship weird old things. And I'm not kidding. Put pagans into Google. It's not what you think. They love that. And it's like strange. But this day today is it's a solemn assembly, atzeret in Hebrew right there. And to give you a little definition of what that means, I looked it up and it says an assembly, especially on a festival or holy day. It's a meeting. And that's why we're here. Same thing with the Sabbath. This is a holy convocation, a mikra kodesh. Every Sabbath we meet and we don't mind who comes or who doesn't come. Or sometimes we get all kinds of people show up and, but it's a sacred assembly, a holy meeting, a public meeting. You're supposed to get to a point where you want to fellowship with like-minded people that, hey, could you, let's meet because I got 6 days to go be with everyone else that knows nothing. And they might be nice people too. I'm not saying they're not pleasant or nice. They're just not holy or they're not of the God of Israel. Because you have people here that work in big, companies and stuff like that. And I'm sure you know lots of people and then some of them are very nice to talk to. But are they holy? No. What that means, holy means consecrated to God. Kadosh means separate to the God of Israel. And that gets a little, you have to understand that term. Back to Leviticus. Now these are the feast of the Lord. These are the feast of Jehovah. It says, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. So you might stop right there and go, these are the feast of the one God I said I love? How come I never did any? Well, how come the churches don't do any? I mean, they love Jesus, but they don't do nothing he says. And I'm going to read to you, Jesus went to the Feast of Tabernacles. How come no one's doing it? Anyway, it says, so these guys did an offering every day upon the feast. Now this is besides the Sabbaths of Jehovah, and besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, which ye shall give unto Jehovah, or Yehovah in Hebrew. The 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Jehovah 7 days. And we just read this. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. This year, these days happen to fall on the weekly Sabbath. Sometimes there's Sabbaths not on the weekly Sabbath, so they can fall a different day. So that's important to, we try to tell you, months ahead of time so you can set it with your jobs, whatever you have to do, so you can make sure you get off. Because we're very fortunate at the moment, we still have freedom of religion in America, and you might be able to work that out with your job. you know, which is really important. So we try to tell you a few months earlier to let you know that Wednesday might be a Sabbath. Really? So you'll find out about the way they fall sometime in some years. It says, and this is what we did, exactly this. We did exactly what they did in the book of Nehemiah too. It says, and you shall take on you the first day. We went and got boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and we rejoiced before Jehovah our God 7 days. So if you did the Feast of Tabernacles, you might notice we built a little, they call it a sukkah, but it basically is a tent. We build a little temporary dwelling. We put branches all over it, and we explain why we're doing it. We're not hiking out, you know. One guy thought I was playing army or something. I said, no. I said, no, we're doing the Feast of Tabernacles. And what that's all about, I'll give it to you in a nutshell. See, in the seventh month, the first day of the seventh month, most of the Christians out there heard that they always hear the trumpet's going to sound. You ever hear that trumpet's going to sound one day? Well, if you really read the Bible, it's going to happen in the seventh month of God in someone's lifetime that the trumpet is really going to sound. And it's the memorial of blowing the trumpets, right? Then 10 days later, we have something called the Day of Atonement. Means you better have already accepted the Messiah and his blood that he shed for you and be forgiven for your sins if you want to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. So what we do, what we're doing is a shadow of what they did in the past. They were preserved in the wilderness. They put the branches on their little sukkah, and God preserved them, kept them alive, and, you know, fed them. And you guys read, we just read their clothes didn't wax old and their shoes didn't wear out. And I know that for a lady, that's probably terrible because you guys want to go buy a bunch of shoes. But I mean, nowadays, but in the wilderness, their shoes didn't wear out. So we do it as a picture from the past. We do it as in the present today, called our little lifespan and our wilderness. And the reason why I call it a wilderness, because once you step out the doors here, there's a million gods, a million philosophies. Anything, you believe anything, do anything, just smile. Well, that's called spiritually sedated, lackadaisical, or very intoxicated spiritually, because you don't really care what's going on and you don't, it doesn't matter. But we are forensic spiritual detectives, so we want to know the truth. And I know sometimes the truth hurts, because what that means is you have to make a, you have to figure out how to change your life, you know, in the midst of obstacle, and because the whole world's doing the wrong thing. And we used to do the wrong thing too. Don't think we had to learn how to change everything, because everything's been twisted this way. We're trying to twist it back to focus on God. You understand? In other words, our lives have been, you've been painted in something called your life. And it used to be 2.1 kid. No, two kids and plus a dog and a house, and that's your life, job, and that's it. Da-da-da, the American way. Everyone get a car payment, and everyone get a... And there's your life, really. I mean, in a nutshell. That's what that used to be like that. Nowadays, it's like the two people work, and the kid is sent to the babysitter. They don't even know the kid because the babysitter knows the kid better. I mean, the one with the daycare. And there's no more like the husband works, the wife takes care of the family, you know, at during the day. But everyone's, you know, everything has changed so much. So our lives have been painted in the wrong picture frame. But us here, we've jumped out of the picture frame. And we started going, what that means is we started questioning everything. I mean, if Jesus kept the Sabbath, if all the apostles, if Paul did it, if everyone did it, once they're all dead, it's over. That needs some examination. Yeah, something changed. And then all of a sudden, we have this guy, Martin Luther, in the 1500s. He's a Catholic monk. He leaves the Catholic Church. He starts the Protestant Reformation. And from that point on, in the 1500s, down time, all these churches that you went to, all your relatives, your grandmother, grandfather, everybody, and everybody you know, they all went to one of these churches that was created from the Catholic Church guy. He just changed some things he didn't like, you know, but he did the same stuff. They all did the made-up holidays and crazy stuff. Anyway, This feast of God, it says right here, listen, look at this. It says, it shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And that's why I still can't figure out people, even this week, they're still saying Happy New Year. And I'm thinking, like, the seventh month, I mean, you know, it's really that simple. It's not, you don't have to be a scholar or, you know, some intellectual. Seventh month, you know, it's not New Year, right? And so, and we did this. We dwelled in booths 7 days because we're born again into the Israel of God. We're Israelites born. We dwelled in booths. And why do we do that? That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. He says, I am Jehovah your God. And of course, Moses was very obedient. He declared unto them, declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Jehovah. And we did it again this year. So I feel success. You know, we did it again as a rehearsal because we're just picturing one day. I'm hoping we're going to tabernacle with the Lord throughout eternity. I mean, if you're not thinking about eternal life and you're not thinking about you have an enemy that wants you not to make it, then you're tricked already. Remember, you have an invisible enemy that really doesn't want you to make it. And they come in nice situations, nice people. They come in pleasant looks. Satan never comes with the guy with the red jumpsuit on and the horns, because you might go, aha, I recognize you. But he comes in things that will trick you. So, you know, right here, let's see. So we read, today's the eighth day. We read that. And the book of Numbers says the same thing. On the eighth day, you shall have a solemn assembly, which we're doing. Now, if you go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8:14, these guys are just like us. They said they found, and we did the same thing, actually, because we had to get away from our religion to do this. But we found written in the law, which Jehovah had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast in the seventh month. This is the book of Nehemiah. This is like many years after Leviticus. And then many years after Nehemiah, we found written in the book that was supposed to do this. And it says, and they should publish and proclaim in all the cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount, fetch olive branches, pine branches, myrtle trees, palm trees, branches of thick trees, to make booths as it is written. So these guys are just like, I should say, we're just like them. We found written in the book, because we're looking at the Bible, and they go, it says, and you shall dwell in booths in the seventh month. Huh? What? That's what they just did. See what it says right here? They found written in the Torah, in the law. They found the same thing. And it's like, the only way you're going to find it is you have to get away from churches, because they don't know anything. They're just stepchildren of the Catholic Church. I mean, that's just the way it is. So the people went forth, and they brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon, where do you make one? On the roof of your house, and in your courts, in the court of the house of God, in the street of the water gate, in the street of Ephraim, anywhere, basically, wherever you can make one. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. And don't think it's like a surprise that you haven't done this, because even these people that knew about it, for since the days of, this is Yeshua right here, but it's really Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel did so. And they had very great gladness because they finally were doing what God wanted. So for a long time, they even stopped doing it because they didn't read. And then later on, even in the Bible, it says there's a guy called Josiah. He found written in the book that there was a God of Israel and there was commandments and the things that we're supposed to do. And I believe, I would suspect in the whole time of this thing called our human race here, I believe in every century, I believe there's only a handful of people that find written in the book. Otherwise, you know, you'd have masses of people doing this, and there really isn't. And don't think just us are doing it. There's people all around the world doing what we're doing right now. We just came 13 years ago, and we double-checked what we heard, because, something has to be right or wrong and true or false. So we verified what they were saying, and lo and behold, it's true. It's right in the Bible. And like, how could this be? How come my church or my family never did this? Just like these people, they haven't done it in years. But then someone wakes up It says, and also day by day, from the first day until the last day, we did the same thing. We read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, here we are, having a meeting, solemn assembly, after the manner. So we're doing exactly what they did. We found written in the book. And if there was time allowed us, we could actually write our chronicles and say, and we found written in the book in such and such year that we're supposed to dwell in booths and maybe save it somewhere. Maybe some after we're gone and the Lord tarried, somebody would read and go, those guys in 2014, they found written in the book they're supposed to dwell in booths. Just like the guys in Nehemiah, just like the guys in the book of the Kings, and just like what was told in Leviticus, and just like the same thing Jesus, Yeshua did. Are you guys writing your books? I'm writing mine because I have a whole server full of over 2,400 web pages that's going to be around, I know, after me, on a hard drive and another hard drive. I keep a couple of them. So what I say after I'm gone, my testimony is written, that we found written in the book the same thing. So if you want to be one of these people, that's important. You know, I was noticing there's other solemn assemblies. We have one in Deuteronomy. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. We do that too. This is called Passover, and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we explain what that means pertaining to Yeshua, you know. And they had a solemn assembly. And then in the book of Chronicles, they made a solemn assembly. And they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. That's when Solomon built the temple. And in the book of Joel, it says, sanctify your fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of Jehovah your God and cry unto Jehovah. And you can read the rest of that. Blow the trumpet in Zion, which we do, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. And now I'd like to read, this isn't going to be a long study today, but it's going to be a sort of a short study. I'd like to read the Gospel of John, if you have your Bibles, or you just want to follow me up here. This is chapter, and again, it's chapter 7. Try to remember that 7, okay? I don't know if that's a coincidence, but it's chapter 7. And we read out of the King James Version, just for your benefit, in English. After these things, and we changed Jesus' name to Yeshua, that's his Hebrew name. After these things, Yeshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And the reason why it's called the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles, because obviously the Roman Empire wasn't keeping it. Unfortunately, the Roman government was running the show there. We're not used to someone like a dictator running the show, but they had the Roman leaders there running everything. So they call it the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles. It says, his brethren therefore said unto him, this is Yeshua had brothers and sisters. So his brothers said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that does anything in secret that he himself seeks to be known openly. If thou do these things, show yourself to the world. But the truth of the matter is, neither did his brethren believe in him. They thought he was beside himself. They thought Jesus, Yeshua, was nutty, which they couldn't recognize the miracles he was doing. He's the Word of God made flesh. And if you don't understand that, then you lose, really, because no one here has ever seen God, ever. But we've seen the Word of God, which is God, become flesh, which sounds like a contradiction. But God shows up through the whole Bible in the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord comes to Isaiah speaking. That's a manifestation of the Word of God in some body form. The Word of the Lord came to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know, so that's another whole study. But let's get back to gospel. Verse 6 says, and Yeshua said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify it, that the works thereof are evil. He tells them, go up to the feast, go up to this feast. I go not yet up unto this feast, for my time is not yet come. This is old English. I'm trying to remember, I'm from New York, but I lived in Tennessee for a long time, so my whole way of talking is really mixed up. When he had said these words unto them, he abode in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, they went. Then went Yeshua, Jesus, also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said unto him, Where is he? And there was much murmuring about the people concerning him, for some said, He's a good man. Others say, No, he deceives the people. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about in the midst of the feast, which is, that means the middle of the feast, that means Yeshua was there for a lot of portion of it. Yeshua went unto the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knows this man letters, having never learned? Yeshua answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, this is the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the Father's glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, the Torah, and yet none of you keep the Torah? He goes, Why are you going about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast the devil. Who's going about to kill you? Yeshua answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it's of Moses, but of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man, which happened to be the eighth day at that time. I mean, sometimes. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? So the Sabbath day is a day to learn of God, to do good, and to spread the truth. It's not a day of us. It's not a day about us or about anything that we have, but it's a day of God, because the Sabbath was made for man. And the thing you have to learn is, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Messiah? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Messiah comes, no man knows whence he is. Then cried Yeshua in the temple as he taught, saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but the Father that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, I know the Father, for I am from him, and the Father had sent me. And they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. Many of the people believed on him and said, When Messiah comes, will he do more miracles than these, than this man had done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Yeshua unto them, Yet a little while, and am I with you, and then I go unto the Father that sent me. You shall seek me, but you shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Where is he going to go, that we can't find him? Will he go to dispersed among the nations, the Gentiles, and teach the nations, the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he says, You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? And here's what Yeshua was right there, like today, the last day. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, If a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And there's that Ethanim, that everlasting, that ever-flowing stream, you know. And in the book of Jeremiah, God says he's the fountain of living waters. He says it twice, at least. It says, But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard these sayings, said, This is that prophet that's written in the book of Deuteronomy, because they said a prophet's going to come. Others said, This is the Messiah. But others said, Shall the Messiah come out of Galilee? Had not the scripture said Messiah comes of the seed of David, which he did, and out of the town of Bethlehem, which means house of bread, Bethlehem, where David was, and he did. They didn't know the scriptures. So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? And the officers were like, never man spake like this man. They were like shocked. Then said the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knows not the Torah, they're cursed. Nicodemus said unto them, he came to Jesus, Yeshua by night, being one of them. He was a Pharisee. He says, does our Lord judge any man before it hear him and knows what he says, what he does? Then they answered and said unto him, are you from Galilee? Search and look. Out of Galilee arises no prophet. See, the Pharisees, they didn't know the scriptures. And every man went to his own house. Yes. And Yeshua, you know, it was in Bethlehem, right? House of bread. And so here we have a whole chapter 7, which is in the seventh month, which is today on the seventh day, about the Feast of Tabernacles, the great last day. And I don't remember ever telling anybody this when I was in my little religious world, and you were a Baptist and all the other stuff, and your father was a Baptist minister and the whole song. Do you ever hear about that, or that Jesus did the Feast of Tabernacles? Yeah, right. Anyway. Yeah, it was just a nice thing to read. But once we found out that the spring feast that we do, the Passover, Yeshua is the Passover, then he died. They put him in the sepulcher before the Sabbath, and then it's the first day of unleavened bread. Then we do the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is when he's in the sepulcher, and then he rises right in the midst of the unleavened bread. He's the first fruits unto God. And then we see after that is 50 days later is the resurrection. After the resurrection, we have the giving of the Holy Spirit and also the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So everything matches. If you match the Gospels up with the Torah, it's perfect. See, he did all those perfectly. So our thinking is, our rationale is, if Jesus, Yeshua, did all the spring feasts right on the day that he said he would, that's already happened. The fall feasts haven't happened yet in someone's lifetime for real. We're just doing it as a rehearsal now. What that means is something like this. If you look at Noah, remember a guy called Noah? Remember him? You guys heard of Noah, right? Okay. He preached for 100 years in a place where it never rained. And he was telling everybody for 10 years, God gave me a message. Repent. Get on the ark. Help me build it. There's going to be a flood to drown the world. You're nuts, Noah. Flood? What's that? What's that? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Get on the ark. Repent. This is the ark is the only symbol of salvation, like the Messiah that's coming in the future. Repent of your sins. 50 years. You're nuts. 60 years, 70 years. You know, it seems foolish. It seems crazy. 80 years, they're building a boat in a place where it never rained. Think about that. That's sort of like, you probably, I don't even know, I'm happy I didn't live back then because it would look suspicious. I mean, for 70 years, this guy's building a boat with his sons and some other people that joined him. And what flood? What repent? I want to do my own thing, my way. And anyways, you got 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. Then you got 100 years, right? So in 100 years, in someone's lifetime back then, the ground opened up, the heavens opened up. That was the last thing they were thinking about, because it was, say 98 years, they were making fun at Noah. But in the 100th year, in someone's lifetime, in some century that from the past, the earth was drowned. And that is provable in scientific ways. So there is a proof and evidence that there was a deluge that covered the world. And the oil and everything else, I'm not going to get into the scientific reasoning about it, but in someone's lifetime, there was a flood. So by the same word, in someone's lifetime, The Lord's going to come back when the trumpet is sounding. And someone, not today, not today, not tomorrow probably, but in someone's lifetime down the road, the trumpet will sound. You better be atoned if you want a tabernacle. And God, Yeshua, Jesus said he's coming back with a rod of iron to take vengeance on them that know not God. He's coming in the clouds, the eastern skies. He left us a lot of clues. He's not in the deserts. He's not in the secret chambers. He's not in Jerusalem. He's coming back in the clouds in someone's lifetime, not today. And I can't tell you when. I'm probably going to go meet the Lord before he comes back, I'm sure. And maybe some of us will. But one day he'll be back in someone's lifetime. So all I could tell you is try to get some of these truths in your mind. Pretty soon we'll be starting the eighth month of God called Bul, which you probably never heard of. But that's in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. You can look that up yourself. Look up that verse and verify it says Bul, which is the eighth month. Right? Well, anyway, that's the end of my study today. All I could say is beware, soon many pagan holidays will be showing up, and they're showing up right now. Here's a short history. I want to give you a little short history of Halloween. I don't know if you ever heard of Halloween, but it wouldn't surprise me because one time it was banned in America until 1845. There was no such thing as Halloween in America. Did you know that? Since 1845. So if you were in 1844, there was no such thing as Halloween. But the Catholic Church, through their pressures, they try to Christianize everything. And if you know all the churches today, they're calling it Autumn Fest. And I can't even think of all the names they're trying to disguise it with. All Saints Day, the Catholics. But this is just like Christmas. Christmas was banned until the 1700s or 1800s too. Because Christmas had nothing to do with Christ. It was a pagan orgy from Germany or something, you know. So here we have these things that now it seems like they just, if we don't look at history, it looks like they've always been here, doesn't it? No one knows. Because if you don't do the homework, you just go, we have people in our neighborhoods dressing the whole fronts of their yard as a cemetery with tombstones. And all I could think of is this. The origin of Halloween is the Celtic festival of Samhain, the Lord of death and evil spirits. Long before Messiah, at least 2,000 years, Druids in Britain, England, Scotland, France, Germany, and Celtic countries observed the end of summer by making sacrifices to Samhain. The Celtics considered November 1st as being the day of the death because the leaves were falling. It was getting darker soon and temperatures were dropping. They believed Muck Ola, their sun god, was losing strength, and Samhain, Lord of Death, was overshadowing him. Further, they believed that on October 31st, Samhain assembled the spirits of all who had died during the previous year. These spirits had been confirmed to inhabit animal bodies for the past year as punishment for their evil deeds. They were allowed to return to their former home to visit the living on October 31st, which happens to be, you know what? Yeah. And it's really the Feast of Samhain. Druid priests led the people in diabolical worship ceremonies in which horses, cats, black sheep, oxen, human beings, and other offerings were rounded up, stuffed into wicker cages, and burnt to death. This was done to appease Samhain and keep spirits from harming them. Now, this all sounds like far away in the past, doesn't it? Go look up on Google what people are even doing today. I don't know. Yeah, I don't even want to. Yeah, it's pretty horrible. Samhain sounds like, this word is Samhain. It's an ancient Celtic festival. November 1st marks the beginning of winter and the beginning of a false new year. It is also celebrated by the modern pagans. And I'm not kidding. You look them up. It's clear to see that the Halloween has always been a pagan celebration of death. Have you seen some tombstone decorations where you live? Look around. Beware. I don't even, you know what, you know, when I look around, and I do look around, you see ghosts and tombstones and death, and, you know, if you really stopped, spiders and webs. And now, nobody likes spiders and webs. I know that. But on this one day, just think about it for a second. Forget the whole thing. Just think about like tombstones and a little cemetery in front of your house. Think about how really weird that is. And think about dressing your little daughter up as a witch, or with blood, fake blood, and all this stuff. Now, if you take away the festive nonsense they made out of it, and you look at what really are people spiritually hypnotized are doing, that is, it's really mind blowing. Because why would you want a cemetery right in the front of your house with tombstones and spiders and would you? You know what I'm saying? But most people, they're just on automatic pilot. Everyone's doing it, so let's do it. Well, if you go online and don't look too many things up, some things are pretty horrible, but if you look a couple of things up, that'll give you the reality that some people are really still doing this. But, in America, because, like I said earlier, this holiday, there was no such thing as Halloween. 1844. 1843, but in 1845 is when they christened it, so to speak, and they made it a part of our life. So here we are, we're born later on, and everybody's doing it. Like it seems like it's always been here, right? But it hasn't. Same thing with this thing called Christmas. It hasn't been always here. Christmas was banned also. Even the pseudo-Christians that came to America in the very beginning of our country, they knew it was just a ruckus, like a drunken orgy party, it had nothing to do with God or Christ. Later on, they Christianized it. And now in the dictionary, you see it's the birth of Mithra, the Iranian sun god. And then they'll have on the side, Christ's birthday. And you think what I'm trying to say is, if you don't verify everything, if you don't question everything, you'll just do everything whatever everyone's doing, and if the blind leads the blind, you all go where? Fall in the pit, right? So anyway, that's the end of my study for today, and I hope you got something out of it. Today is the Sabbath of God. If anyone doesn't know about the Sabbath, I don't know if you've been to my website lately. I could show it to you real quick. It's right here. You just go to onemessiah.net. which I'll show you where it's at. It's right here. And if you go down on this side here, the left link, and if you want to know about the Sabbath, let's see if I passed it up. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see. The Sabbath is right over. Let's see. Anyone see it? Because my eyeballs are not. Did I pass it already? Anyway, if you just go to my website, you'll find it. You'll find all the information that's in the Bible, basically. It's on the top. He even knows better than I do. Here it is right here. Sabbath info. Okay. So then you can read all these verses. You can see Paul even did it. And then you can go over here and read how to keep the Sabbath. And you can find the Sabbath in all the countries. They have the same name. And then you can read how the Catholics confess how they changed it. And then you can read this. There's so much information right here to verify what we're telling you. And it's not from me. It's from these people, actually. It's their testimonies. They actually erased the fourth commandment. Wow. I mean, that's... Love that. Huh?
Love that.
Well, I mean, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop the recording. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for truth. We pray you'll take anything that's corrupt out of our minds, hearts, and souls. We only desire the truth, Father. Teach us how to disperse this knowledge to other people. And we pray you'll give everyone hearts to understand. We just want them to go on the correct path. Bless and anoint this day, the rest of the Sabbath, bless the food, the singing, anything we do. Let it be to the glory of the living God and to the edifying of the body. And we thank God for the blood of Yeshua, the Messiah, the God of Israel. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone.